good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to see you on this holiday weekend. So glad that you all have chosen to spend part of it here with us. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity, along with my wife, Catherine, and with Aaron and Lenora Russo. And on behalf of this congregation, if you are with us for the first time today, we're especially glad to welcome you as our guests. Also want to welcome those folks who are joining us online today for worship, wherever you may be traveling or wherever you may be tuning in from. Thanks for joining us for this time. If you are here or if you are online, you can let us know that you've been here by filling out the Connect card. If you're here, you'll find that in the bulletin, and you can pull that out and give us your name, and if you're new, as much information as you are comfortable with so that we can get to know a little bit more about you and what your interests may be. And if you're here regularly, just your name and your email is great. And a little bit later in the service, when the offering plates are passed, you can place those in there. Some of you, as you walked in, may have had your eyes turned this direction to see a new display that we have added to the walls for part of our summer together. You may know already that we are celebrating a month of missions. And the flags that you see here represent the countries where Trinity is in an ongoing mission and ministry relationship. And so it's exciting to think about the places where people from Trinity are connecting and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and offering hope and love. So we celebrate that today and throughout the month. There also is information in your bulletin about today's mission emphasis, both the mission box and the mission gift opportunity. The mission box for this week is for Honor Center. And as you leave today, if you want to make a contribution toward that, which helps assist veterans in our community that are in transition from homelessness to being housed, you can place those offerings in the boxes as you leave. Well, you know, over the summer, there is a good bit of traveling that happens, and oftentimes there are travels that are planned. And then there's some things that happen along our travels that may be unplanned or unexpected. And so it is with the life of faith as well. If you spend very much time on this journey, we will, along the way, discover moments that come along as unexpected and or uncharted. And yet in all of it, God promises to be with us. And so today, however it is that you ended up at this point and at this place as a part of your journey, we are glad that you are here, and I want to say to you, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand and greet one another as we prepare to worship together this morning.
Please stand as you are able and join us as we sing 10,000 Reasons Bless the Lord, which is one of the reasons that we bless the Lord is for the freedoms that we enjoy.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you.
thank you for gathering us in this space this morning. We thank you that we have been called to freedom and to serve one another in love. And so as we worship you, we pray, O God, that you change our hearts and lives so that we might go out into the world as your witnesses. In Jesus' name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith lives now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
We have an opportunity now to go to God with our joys and our concerns, lifting our prayers to a God who not only hears them, but answers those prayers. This morning, as we join our hearts in prayer, we want to put before you the names of all those that we are visiting in the hospital and rehab and encourage you to keep them in your prayers, not only today, but throughout the week, as they continuously tell us that they sense our prayers and what a difference that makes for them in their healing journey. This week, we'll be celebrating the freedom and independence we experience in our country. And as we do, we want to focus our prayer time around that this morning, but to do so in a way that acknowledges many in the world do not have the luxury of freedom that we often can take for granted. And so we will begin with a time of silence for you to pray, listening up your own personal joys and concerns. And then I will lead us in a prayer when we end with the Lord's prayer. Let's pray together. Liberation and freedom. We have gathered here to worship you and to find peace and direction for our lives. As we take time together this week and to reflect on the blessings of our freedom that have been sorely fought for and won, we acknowledge that in too many places there is so little to celebrate. Our spirits ache for people far and near who suffer and struggle just to have the basic necessities. Grant that we may celebrate this week with grateful hearts, while never forgetting that you have given us a ministry and a mission to be agents of justice and peace in this world until you come again in final victory. Help us be mindful of the many ways in which we can reach out to others. By our attitudes and actions, may we be fully present with those who need your hope, comfort, healing, and peace. May your grace sustain all those who find themselves at their weakest and bring eternal hope to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Bless us, Lord, with wisdom tempered with compassion. Remind us that we have the freedoms we enjoy because others have gone before us, standing on the principles of hope. Do not let our pride of country overwhelm the needs that still abound within our walls and beyond our lands. Where there is hatred, help us to bring words of love. Where there are injustices, help us to correct those systems and become advocates for the voiceless and the powerless. Where there is apathy, empower us to bring the good news of your gracious transforming love. And where there are those of us who serve in harm's way to protect our freedoms, May you protect them and make them agents of your peace and justice in the world. Be with us this day and all the days of our lives as we seek to follow you, uniting us in your love as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. And we cry out, Alleluia, for your extravagant love and your abundant blessings in our lives. Help us to be mindful and see even the smallest blessings are a gift from you. And may we hold loosely you to those giving back generously now so that you can further your work of your kingdom among us and in us and through us until all come to know the saving love of Jesus Christ and every right is wrong and become final victory and we celebrate that day with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be back with you today. Some of you know Steve and I have been away for a couple of weeks, and we definitely enjoyed our time away and enjoyed a time of rest and seen a lot of family. And it is good to be back with you all here today. So welcome. The scripture reading for this morning continues our series, The Unexpected Journey. And the scripture reading is from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now, Genesis chapter 12 marks a turn in the book of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are kind of the history of the world, the primeval history of who we are in that place long ago and far away. And the first 11 chapters are also the history of sin, which began with the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden and then continued into full effect up to the destruction of the whole earth with the flood. And the story that Lenora preached about last week of Noah being called to do the unpopular thing and to build that ark and God making a new covenant. And then in the following that story of Noah and the ark, we hear the eighth generation of the sons of Noah from Shem, one of his sons. And we go down those eight generations and we end with a son named Terah. And Terah had two sons, one of whom died, and the other is Abram, married to Sarai. And so it seems, because Sarai has been unable to have children, that branch of the family line is coming to an end. It will exist no more. And then that's where we pick up this story of Abram and Sarai. And just when we think we've gotten to the end of the story, God begins a new one. Isn't that how it is in our lives sometimes? Just when we think we've come to the end of the story and we don't know what's next, God begins a new chapter. There's a new beginning. And so, we begin to hear the story of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And if the first 11 chapters of Genesis were the story of our sin, then from there, chapter 12 begins the story of God's continuing salvation. It begins the story of God reaching out to us in unexpected ways with faithfulness and promises that we really don't even deserve. In the story, we hear about Abram and Sarai. Now, you may remember that their names were changed. God changed their names to Abraham and Sarah later. But at this point, they're still Abram and Sarah. And so we'll read this morning the first part of chapter 12, and I invite you to take a look at the screen and read along silently with me, if you will. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your family, your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left, just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Remember, filled with milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey? When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place of Shechem, at the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out towards the arid southern coast, making and breaking camp as he went. The word of God, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. This morning, as I usually do, I pray for me and sharing this message with you, and I pray for you that God will open your hearts and your minds to hear and work from God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. An uncharted journey. How many of us have ever set out on a journey, on a path, and not really known exactly where we were headed? Our nephew spent the first part of the summer in South Africa. For the first few weeks he was there, he was with a cohort of 12 other students from U.S., and then all of those students returned home. But Matthew decided he was going to stay there by himself. And so for 3 weeks, he traveled around with no itinerary, no tour guide, no reservations anywhere, by himself. Now, he had some fabulous adventures, and he also had some kind of scary moments. Isn't that how it is for some of us sometimes? We travel on this journey of life, and we go out into the unknown, not really knowing what lies ahead, not knowing what kind of twists and turns there will be, how we will get there, or where we will end up. You know, marriage is kind of like that. As I said in the pastor's message on Friday, last week Steve and I celebrated 31 years of marriage together. We got married less than 2 months after I turned 22, and a month after we both graduated from college. And I can tell you that at that point, we obviously didn't have a clue about what we were getting ourselves into. Perhaps it was the same way for some of you. When you walk down that aisle and you commit to love one another, to love and to cherish, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, you really don't have any idea what that means. And when the minister says at the end, "Now pronounce you husband and wife," that's really just the beginning of a very uncharted journey that lies ahead. You know, it's the same way when we have children. At the 11 o'clock service this morning, we'll be celebrating the baptism of Darby Schiff. And you know, when we have children, especially when we have our first child, we just really don't know what that's going to be like. I remember going to the hospital to have our first child, our daughter Shelby Hart, and being absolutely terrified as I carried that little bag and walked out the door to the hospital. I was terrified of labor and what that might mean, and it didn't go well, and also of having a child and what it meant to add someone else to our family and to be responsible for that person. And then when I got home, I remember walking in the door and there was this welcome home sign straight ahead of the front door. And somehow, as I carried that tiny little infant in my arms, it didn't really feel like the same home anymore. I was frightened. Everything was going to be different. What did it mean to raise a child, to love a child, to nurture a child through all of the joys and trials and the story from Genesis 12, I imagine that Abram is sitting there, and he's just minding his own business. He was quite comfortable, secure, and content. When all of a sudden, God comes to him and calls him to go out into the unknown. God just shows up and says to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." It's really like God telling Abram to pack up his bags and all of his family and fly to South Africa with no itinerary, no reservations, and no return flight. First of all, God tells him to leave. God says, leave your country, your clan, and your home. Leave the land that you know, the people that you know, and the comfort of your place. Leave everything that offers you security and position and peace, and go. Leave all that is yours. Wow. That's quite some command. Think about it. And then, God doesn't tell him where he's going. God simply says, go. The destination is yet uncharted. Get going. To where? Well, to the place that I will tell you. Can you imagine going without knowing where you're going to end up? But although God doesn't tell Abram where to go, he does tell him why to go. God tells Abram, get going because I'm going to make of you a great nation. I will make your name great, and I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. God tells Abram to leave and then promises to give him again security and peace and place. Now, at that point, we have to go back and remember one small piece of information that we learned in chapter 11, and that is that Abram's wife, Sarah, is infertile. She hasn't had any children, and she is now old. We were told that they didn't have any children, and yet there is this promise to Abram that he will be the father of a great nation. His family was at the end of the line, as I said, and there was no hope. And yet God has offered hope. Actually, God has promised hope. God promises to bring new life out of a dead and barren place and to make Abram and Sarah the ancestors of many, many people. The second promise that God makes to Abram is that he will bless him and make his name great. Now, earlier in Genesis, you may remember that in our history of sin, the people of God built a tower because it says the tower that we call the Tower of Babel. They built a tower, and it says so they could make their name great. But God mixed up their language and dispersed them all. But now God has chosen Abram to be the father of a great nation, and he says, I will make your name great. This is not something that Abram can or will do for himself or by himself, but something that God will do. Hope doesn't come from self-achievement or self-aggrandizement, but from God. God will bless him and make his name great. That's the second promise. And then finally, the third promise is that God will bless Abram so that Abram can be a blessing to others. In fact, all nations will find blessing through Abram. The blessing of God on Abram will somehow flow out to all people. God initiates this new relationship with a particular family of Abram's descendants. And that means that we too will receive those blessings and promises because we are those descendants. And although the journey is uncharted, although we may not know where our journey will lead, do know that the promises of God will be with us, offering us hope and bringing new life out of places of barrenness. But we too, like Abram, have to be willing to risk taking that uncharted journey. We always have the choice to stay in our land and with our clan and with our home. We can choose not to give up security and peace and place. But that's not what God calls Abram to do. And it's not what Jesus calls us to do. You remember where Jesus says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." We're called to follow on that uncharted path. And when we choose to follow, we are not even guaranteed that the way will continue smooth and clear. Let me go back to chapter 12 again. It says, Abram left just as the Lord told him, and they set out for the land of Canaan. The land we know is the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we might expect that that would be the case, and that it would wait empty for Abram to arrive there. But what does it say? Notice this one little verse. It's just kind of slipped in there. It says, at that time, there were Canaanites in the land. Oops, the land is not empty, waiting for Abram and Sarai and all of their descendants to fill it, but the land that's already given to him has people in it already. Just a minor complication, right? Isn't that how it is with us, too? Just because God is with us doesn't mean that we are promised peace and comfort and a place in God's family that will be uneventful, that will not have bumps and twists and turns. And sometimes there still are obstacles in the way. Sometimes there are detours in the journey. And yet, we are still called to go. And we are also given a suggestion as to what to do when the way gets a little rough and confusing and the road is unclear. Let's go back to the story one more time. Imagine Abram's surprise when he gets to Canaan and there are people living there. What is he supposed to do? At that time, there were Canaanites in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. You know, to me that says two things. First of all, it says that when we are startled, when there is a detour, when the journey takes a sudden turn, that we are to look to God for direction. Abram was startled to see people already living there. There was definitely going to be a problem. But God appears to him and says, "Don't worry. I've got this. This land will still belong to your descendants. My plan, it's still good. It's all good." Sometimes when things don't go as we plan, we turn away from God. This part of the story of Abram reminds us to trust God is still with us and truly desires only the best for us. God is still with you and truly desires only the best for you. The story also reminds us to be intentional about marking those times on our journey when there are changes, and when we are listening for God. Abram stopped, and he pitched a tent, and he built an altar. He stopped and marked that time so that he could remember it and hold on to it and go back to it as a reminder that even when there was a detour, God was with him. A year ago this weekend, Stephen and I were officially appointed to begin here with Trinity. And we had previously served a church in Bradenton that we were sent to plant, and we've been there for 19 years. You know, I'll be honest with you, we had no desire to leave. We were like Abraham, content in that community with those people and have a strong sense of home. And yet, it became clear to us that God was calling us to be obedient and to leave and to go to a new land, a land of orange and blue, and to serve among you all. We didn't really understand it, but we had a very strong sense of peace and reassurance that this was a part of God's plan and the next step on the journey for us. During that transition from Harvest to Trinity, we also took a 3-month renewal leave. And I will say that that will always be that we are very glad we took, because it was a time when we pitched a tent and set a marker of this transition. It was a time of rest and play, but most importantly, it was a time of connecting to God in a deeper way. We went on a silent retreat and we spent time in prayer and meditation and journaling. It was a time of concentrated focus on God, stopping to rest and building an altar, marking that time and moment on the journey. We will hold that marker as a time that reminds us that God is with us and that God's promises are sure and true. This week I was reading John Wesley's commentary notes on Genesis, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. And in the section where he's writing about Abram being called to go, to leave his country and his father's house and his home, Wesley talks about the challenge of going where the journey is uncharted. He says that when God calls Abram to go, and then this is the quote, the language may sound a little archaic, but listen to what he's saying. By this precept, he, Abram, was tried whether he could trust God farther than he could see God. Can we trust God farther than we can see God? Can you trust God farther than you can see God? In the middle of your life, when God comes to you and says, get going to a place, oh, I'll tell you where later, can you trust God and can you follow? When Jesus says to take up your cross and to do things that are risky and uncomfortable, can you follow? Can you trust God farther than you can see God? Can we together trust God will begin a new chapter. So God, as you call us to do that, give us the strength, the peace, the reassurance that you are with us. Help us to put our trust fully and wholeheartedly in you. And then, oh God, help us to stop and to rest and to mark that moment in time as a reminder of your presence and your promises for us, even on this uncharted journey of faith and life. Oh God, we thank you.
Time and time again in this journey of faith, we are invited to come to this table as a marker, a place where we can remember and where we can look forward. Here we see ordinary bread and ordinary juice. And it is by faith that we can recognize these things as means of grace, a way in which God extends God's self to us, to remind us of God's extravagant love for us. A God who, when all other means failed, chose to come in the person of Jesus Christ to fulfill God's promises to be with us always and to love us unconditionally. Here we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a final meal. He took bread and broke it and shared it with them, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, fill our hearts with gratitude this morning as we come. Open our eyes to see. Open our hearts to receive. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us so that it may be so, and on these gifts of bread and wine so that in receiving them we might recognize the very presence of Christ in them and among us. Bind us together as one people, called to be your church, serving together in union with Christ and with one another to a world that is in need of your love. And may we, having been nourished here, rise up to go out and be a part of your invitation to bring the kingdom to earth as it is. Presbyterian Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. For this is the table where we meet Christ, and Christ invites us to come and receive just as we are. So this morning we'll invite each of you to come to the pair of servers that is in front of your section. Some of you will come all the way to the front, some of you will just come to the break where you see a pair of servers there. As you come, prepare your hands to receive bread, and after you've received that bread, you can take it and dip it into the cup, taking the elements together and tasting and seeing that indeed the Lord is good. After you've received, you can return to your seats by the other side of your section, and of course, spend as much time as you would like at the altar rails here in front in prayer and thanksgiving. Everything is ready. We welcome you to the table.
I have heard.
sing together. One of the ways that we learn to trust God farther than we can see God is to sing truth about Him. So let us sing Mighty to Save.
Go out today, a couple of reminders. One, next week we are receiving as our tangible offering the grocery bags, you know, that we use. Not the paper ones or the plastic ones, but those other ones that we use. So bring those in, and those will be an offering for us to refugees. It's very helpful to them. And then secondly, if you're going to Sunday school or you want to go home and come back, we have lunch prepared for us at noon on the other side of this wall, and it's a great opportunity to enjoy a good meal and to enjoy fellowship and catch up with people that you might not have seen in a little while. So I hope you'll come back for that. And now, as you go out onto that uncharted path that God might lead you toward, may God give you courage and strength for the road that lies ahead. And at all times, may you feel the presence and the peace of Jesus Christ through our God who loves us, and Christ who gives us grace, and the Holy Spirit who fills us with strength and power. Now.